You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day is casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, August 24th, 2012. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the Majority Report. We are broadcasting live, not in the literal nor metaphorical shadow of the New York Times building, nor are we in the Dollar Lunch District of New York City. I am in a secret location in a bunker to avoid the crazies and the Republicans and all of them. On the program today, because it is Casual Friday, of course, Mr. Cliff Schechter wrapping up the week for us and giving us a movie selection will be Isabel Achilles. That and my cold just after, of course, I bring you the Cliff Schechter theme song.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC. New media, public relations, and strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, Cliff Schechter, Libertas, LLC. Cliff, are you there?
I'm here. How are you, Sam?
I'm doing great. I've got a little bit of a cold, and
I talked to some of those guys who you work with over there at that Ring of Fire, and they told me that when you guys were doing some things this week, that you've been pushing the envelope but that's what you do for your listeners. Even when you don't feel well, you're there, and we know that, Sam.
It's true. You got to make the hay while the sun is shining, as it were.
Did you learn that upstate?
You know what? I did. How literal that comment was, but where we live up there, 35 farms in our town, and my neighbor is a farmer. He's not actively farming anymore, but he kept saying that, and you realize, that you got to do it, because if it rains, it can destroy your entire hay crop, essentially.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to do it. It's just like you can't rely on the weather to work out in your favor. And this year in upstate New York, 90% of the apples, 90% in New York State were destroyed, the apple crop, because of how warm it was in February and March. And then, by the time you got to, I think even in April, there was a freeze. And it wiped out a huge amount of...
Was that global cooling they're talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
I hear it's just a conspiracy, though. A hoax, if you will.
Well, if Al Gore could just lose some weight, then we would have none of this...
I'm just saying, it's people like you that always say, the Earth's getting cooler, the Earth's getting cooler. I'm tired of hearing it, frankly.
Yeah.
Apples froze, it's cold,
That end, we don't have enough guns. When I touched base with you this morning, I haven't had a chance to really sort of go through the news of the day, as it were. I'm still in sort of some long forms. And apparently another shooting outside the Empire State Building. It appears to be 12, at least 12 people were shot. Two people were killed.
The guy who lost his job, this is an old story. And again, we don't know all the details yet, but I always point this out on your show because I love when the gut nuts say, oh, you know, you couldn't have stopped this. Every single time, there's something. You know, to go through it quickly again, Columbine got their guns from gun shows without a background check. You know, Jared Loughner, the military declared him to be a drug abuser, which is a category of people that are not allowed to buy guns but just didn't bother to report it. You know, Sung Ho Chi, I think I'm pronouncing his name right, of Virginia Tech, the shooter there, who had had a local judge adjudicate him as mentally, I don't know what the right word is, incompetent. That's probably not PC. I'm not sure what the word is. But he was not able, he should not have been able to buy a gun, and Virginia didn't share the records. I mean, I'm just telling you, in the case of the shooter in Aurora, when any single human being buys 6,000 rounds in a week in a country that cares about safety, that would set off alarms. You know what I mean? Not to mention that his psychiatrist warned the university, as required by law, that he might be a danger to them, but somehow it's not required by law that warning also be a red flag for someone buying 6,000 bullets and guns. I mean, most of the, you know, again, so we all know, and there are some of these things would happen. Look, they happen in Europe where there's much more gun control than here. But, you know, we're a country right now that has over 88 guns, like 89 guns per every 100 people. Second in line is Yemen, good old Yemen, with 54, and you have to go down to 45 guns per 100 people to get to the next one, which is Switzerland, you know, who still has, and shockingly, even Switzerland, where they do actually have well-regulated militias, where they do background checks, where they do psychological tests before people get their guns because people join the military there, there's still a much higher, you know, seven times higher gun rate of homicide by firearm in Switzerland than there is in England. I mean, these things are all easy to if you don't want to listen to the liars on the right, these are pretty easy to track. I think to me what sums up where we are right now is The Onion, which put out an article this week that says nation celebrates full week without deadly mass shooting, just put up on their site, update, never mind. That's where we are.
You know, if you had told me 6 to 8 months ago that, you know, every third or fourth of our talks on a Friday would be wrapping up one of these shootings, I would have said there's just no way. And you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't think they're related. But when I contemplate the story this week that the NYPD was spying on Muslims to the extent that it was cataloging every Muslim who had changed, who had Americanized their last name, right? Which is, of course, you know, what we were. Well, my name was Sidursky.
Well, we all did when we came
right
over
exactly
here.
And what is sort of theoretically encouraged, you know, the melting pot. So that's the part that melts off. Cataloging all these people, going and literally infiltrating. And infiltrating is just the right word from the perspective of the cops. It's not from when you talk about, you know, the idea of infiltrating a social group, you know, a Muslim social group at a college. The idea that there was this type of effort, a 6-year effort, which led to not a single investigation, not a single lead. In other words, essentially just spying on people who just couldn't be any better, you know, any less of a threat to us.
We go through with other people, I mean, just think about it for a second, Sam. Somebody with a Muslim background tried in a pretty failed manner two times, once to set their shoe on fire, the other time to set their junk on fire. And think about what we've had to go through at airports because of that. I mean, like, literally, you can't bring water in, but you can bring baby formula, but you can't bring this, and you gotta have a wand stuck on you, and you gotta have somebody grope you and go through things that may cause, you know, that may have radiation in them that cause cancer later on. And I mean, the number of ridiculous things we have to go through just to get on an airplane. And these are people that literally are willfully allowing people, because of the strength of one lobby, are willfully, and they're not strong, by the way, they just they're just part of the team. They're allowing. I mean, again, I'm tired of mincing words at this point. The NRA is a terrorist organization. That is what they are. All right, they empower terrorists. They empower crazy people. And at this point, they know that people are dying. They have their blood well beyond on their hands. They're swimming in pools of blood. And I'm really at the point where I'm ready to say, really, that at this point, anybody in Congress who follows their agenda should really almost be considered to be a part of the whole thing, quite frankly.
Well,
being accomplice
to
murder, because
stunning
that's what
where
you're
we
doing.
Spend our resources. I mean you know, it's just stunning. And, you know, I don't know. I'm just the way that we spend our resources in this country is just bizarre to me. It's just bizarre, you know, because, I mean, you know, aside from the fact that we are we're expending the resource of destroying our civil liberties, you know, because once you establish that you have this surveillance, I mean, look, I mean, you know, and I know that we're sort of toggling back and forth here and maybe slightly talking past each other, but not
we're
exactly.
No, because I think what you're saying is, to me, is hugely, I mean, I don't think so, you know, Sam, because I think these are parts of the same story.
Right.
Look at how much we're willing to go so far beyond what makes any common sense.
Exactly.
To people who have done nothing. You know, you can use the Patriot Act to go and look into somebody's underwear purchases because it might be suspicious. You know, you can, I mean, I remember saying that right after John Ashcroft was elected. I wrote one of my first columns on guns back in 2000, you know, after Bush was elected and John Ashcroft became AG. And how the first things he did, he came in, you know, he supported the Patriot Act. He was just ready to go through everybody's personal records, banking records, for doing nothing. But he instituted this thing, you know, instituted the program where they would destroy gun records from background checks after 24 hours. So it's like, let's go way overboard and take away civil liberties from people that haven't done anything, but in an area where we don't do anything and where we would just have some common sense measures that don't do anything to anybody's civil liberties. I'm sorry, having to go through a 2-minute background check to buy a gun, not so much of a drag on your civil liberties.
Right. And exactly. I mean, this is exactly it. Because, you know, the thing that people really have to understand about this Muslim spying thing is that the way that we know there was no leads from this demographics unit, they called it, or now they call it some other type of zone. I don't know. They keep changing the name. Zone assessment unit, I think they call it. The way that we know this is actually part of an ongoing lawsuit over the Handschuh case, which was 40 years ago, about spying on, at that time, students and, you know, the hippies and supposed terrorist groups, but of course that went far afield from that. And so the idea of what we're willing to expend in terms of dollar resources and in terms of our civil liberties relative to spending a couple of bucks, building an infrastructure where we can control guns a little bit more, and giving up that supposed part of our civil liberties, it's just absurd. It's just
absurd. Well, you know what's upsetting about it is that again, I don't think any of it actually ever has to do with what's good for the people of this country. I mean, our government is so freaking corrupt at this point that there's a reason why your civil liberties are beginning taken away. Because you remember, what the hell is his name, Chertoff, who just happened to be, you know, either on the board or one of the officers of the company that was creating these new
rapid scan
machines that scan you naked at the airport. So the interests are aligned for taking away all of our civil liberties, the financial interests when it comes to the other things. But when it comes to guns, the financial power is with the NRA.
Right.
If you could get groups that were anti-gun that had five times as much money to spend as the NRA, it'd be amazing how you'd suddenly see that change.
Right.
And it just reminds you how corrupt all these people are. How few, and I don't want to say all, because there are some few and fantastic exceptions to that. But I mean, how corrupt so many of them are. Who all that they care about in the short term is their own political reelection and thinking 5 years down the road where they want to be a lobbyist. And it's just maddening.
Homeland Security, you know, turns out to be just a huge, huge, I mean, talk about teat. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, You know, this is when you think about Alan Simpson and his, you know, there's all these old people sucking off 300 million teat suckers. And the teat, and the teat that he's talking about, of course, has been paid into by those 300 million people. Or
what you hear me talking about is the $695 billion defense industry.
Right, and the Homeland Security budget, which of course is...
six times as much as it is China, our right. next biggest... I mean... Go ahead.
Well, no, but you're right. But the point's the same. When you look at, you know, the fact that somebody's got a tank down, you know, this nut job in Lubbock, Texas wants a tank so that, you know, when the UN comes to take away his, I don't know what, his, you know, or I guess it's a judge down there, when the UN comes in to take away his black robes or something, or to make him wear a blue robe or whatever the nut job thinks, they got a tank down there in Lubbock now. As part of the Homeland Security, it's just basically the real teat suckers are just about everybody else. And
that's exactly right.
And what it does
is,
we see it with private prisons, we see it with everything. Yes,
it's just, crisis. I've got a piece coming out in Politico this weekend about, you know, about all this ridiculousness and about what Joe Biden said, which we've discussed, and the flat guaranteeing, and trying to lay out what I think for the Obama administration, what flat guarantee means, because it should be pretty straightforward, but sometimes to politicians it's not, that Social Security shouldn't be touched. And there's so many ways, there's so much wasteful crap, there's subsidies to oil companies and mega farms and sugar barons and God knows what else, there's a cap on payroll taxes that stops at $110,000, which is regressive and ridiculous. There's us not allowing reimportation of prescription drugs and banning mass or bulk negotiation by our own government, which would save us countless millions upon hundreds of millions and probably much more than that. There's a war on drugs where we throw people into jail, hurt our productivity, and pay money to house people for selling a million other things, you know, and then there's, of course, the $695 billion defense industry we just discussed, which you easily could cut by a third, and then what? We have three times as much as the biggest country? I mean, it's ridiculous. So it's not that. It's just what we choose to spend resources on, right. You know, and we don't choose to spend resources on preventing people from getting guns. We don't choose to. We let the NRA buy people off. We let the NRA. I mean, you know, again, they're a terrorist organization. At this point, I will firmly say they're committing treason because they're empowering people that want to hurt this country and hurt the people of this country, and they're doing it to make money. They're profiting off of people in this country dying. And I'm just tired of even sugarcoating it in the slightest bit. They're traitors and they're blood merchants. And, you know, we're seeing this stuff happen every week, and we have resources, we have common sense measures, we know work, we have resources we could bring to bear on all this stuff, but we're doing none of that because they're telling us not to.
It's pretty stunning. What is actually really stunning is that what is it going to take? I mean, what actually has to happen do you think would have to happen at this point to actually see some type of movement on gun control? I mean, we're literally at the point where it's been close now where we're almost on a bi-weekly basis, we're coming in and we're talking about some type of mass shooting, right? I mean, it's every like 3 weeks now. I mean, how many?
Something like that, yeah.
I mean,
before this, there had been a calculation done that since, and I did it with somebody else, that since the shooting at the cafe in downtown Seattle at the end of May, that we had had on average a mass shooting, meaning at least two people shot. In a shooting at once every 8.8 days since then.
And we should also say that aside from mass shootings, last night, from Thursday evening to Friday morning, 13 people in Chicago were shot. 13 people.
And that's just considered like par for the course.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what will it take? Yeah, I mean, that is a fantastic question. You know, I work with Mayors Against Legal Guns. We have other groups that we work alongside. There have been some fantastic bills and you know, I mean, Delaware passed some bills to that were common sense to control guns in meaningful ways. You know, there have been some people who have done great jobs. You know, in the state of Pennsylvania, Ceasefire PA has pushed measures to get to where localities have gone on their own and passed laws so people would have to report lost and stolen guns. This may sound like small stuff, but the only way you do it is you begin with the small stuff. You know, I mean, in other words, people, these are grassroots movements where people are rising up against this. And I think the answer to your question is, sadly, is the NRA is going to lose for two reasons. One, they're going to lose because of all the damage they've wrought. Because at some point, there are going to be more single-issue voters on this issue than there are on their side, because there are going to be so many people affected by gun violence. It's going to become so commonplace. As it is becoming right now. It's no longer, you can no longer just say, you know, oh, well, it only happens in those communities, which, by the way, I'm not justifying, as you know, in any way, but I'm sure a lot of politicians said that. It will be coming to the Aurora, Colorados, you know, the suburban areas, as it already is. So there's that. That, I think, is the first thing. And the second thing, as we've discussed, is demographics. Just as they were on the losing side of gay marriage and immigration and women's rights and everything else, because the people that are supporting these nuts are all very, very old, generally fat, bald, white guys, there will be a point where they don't play nearly as big a role in our country. In fact, they're already not playing as big a role, which is why Antonin Scalia unleashed super PACs and on us, and why they're suppressing the vote in so many states, because it's already happening. Well, imagine 4-8 years from now, where because of growth of Hispanic population, others, that Texas is a swing state. You know what I mean? I mean, when we get to that point, they're not going to be able to stop this thing. You know, gun ownership has gone down. It used to be in the 1970s, 1 in 2 households owned a gun. Now it's 1 in 3. A little bit below that, I think 32% at the most recent thing, because people are moving to suburbs and cities. Rural areas are dying out. I mean, you know, I don't know if I'm even being un-PC by saying that, but that's just the simple truth. So they're on the losing side of this. They will lose. The only question is how many innocent people they will kill in the meantime, so they can pocket their, you know, so that Wayne LaPierre can keep going to the Palm every week for lunch.
And then the question, of course, is which other country in the nation, I mean, excuse me, which other country in the world will they go to pump their profits, right? I mean, it's just sort of like, it's like tobacco.
Right. Right? It's exactly the tobacco industry and now the global warming guys for oil. You deny for a while. You bring up bogus studies, so even though everybody knows for years, 20, 30, 40 years, that what you're saying is complete crap, you create all your own fake studies and you create your own fake media organizations. The NRA has their own radio, their magazines that people buy. They obviously Rush Limbaugh on Fox News do their bidding. They bought off the Daily Caller in a rather hysterical way. You know, they might as well call themselves the NRA News at this point. You do all that stuff, but you're right. I mean, look what the tobacco industry eventually did when we passed laws here. They moved on to Asia. I'm sure that, you know, they're already, let's face it, the arms dealers are already in a lot of those places, but who knows, maybe they'll find a way to make life even more miserable in other countries once they've lost their edge here. And again, for people who think, oh, we can't win, it will happen. You know, I mean, demographics is destiny, and the truth is that sadly, I see it every day because I see the number of people that are joining groups like the ones I'm aligned with because somebody they love was shot because of the policies the NRA enacts. So, you know, they will lose. I just would encourage people who listen who think this isn't an important issue wherever you live. It is an important issue. And pretty soon, don't be surprised if it affects somebody you know, because this is not just a coincidence. These things are now starting to proliferate.
And, you know, we should say, I mean, I don't know the background of this guy, but I think, you know, we're also heading into it's just going to be a very difficult, period for this country in terms of, like, this type of gun violence. Because, we have a situation now where you have, just our military personnel who are returning from Iraq and will hopefully over the next couple of years be returning from Afghanistan. you know, we have had, I think, in the past, I saw some stat the other day that I think it's in the past, I don't know, 130 days, almost every single one of those days, an active duty military personnel has committed suicide. And these are people whose lives have just been destroyed by, multiple tours in theater and all of the implications of that, seeing horrible things, trying to reintegrate back into life, which becomes extremely difficult. I mean, to be taken from sort of one context and then drop back into your life. It's just, it seems to be
a particularly violent situation, and then you're supposed to readjust easily.
And undoubtedly, you know, we're also going to have, it's not going to be many, but there are going to be people who have just sort of lost it over there and are going to come back and are going to get, you know, engage. And, you know, I remember we had that.
They've got the training.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they may come back and have some mental issues from having been in situations that no human being should ever have to endure. And they've got the training to use and the easy access to weapons and the encouragement from the NRA and Rush Limbaugh that President Obama's coming to get your guns, so you'd better stock up and start shooting in all directions. And this is what the report said from Homeland Security in 2009,
right.
the one that was asked for and instituted by George W. Bush's administration, but, of course, not released until Obama came in, so the right wing freaked out. Chant and Napolitano got rid of it, and they shut down the whole agents, part of the agency they had looking at domestic terrorism. I mean, one of the guy who wrote that report has written a lot about this. I think he's got a book coming out on it. He wrote an article for Salon the other day on how scary this stuff was, and that had that unit still been together, that we might have known that what happened in Wisconsin was coming, for example. You know, not that the FBI wasn't watching him somewhat too, but I'm just making the point that these guys, I love how the right screams and yells about political correctness on the left. Well, their political correctness has maybe led to what's happened. And the fact that Obama and Napolitano gave into that just sickens me. So they've now got one person working on this where they used to have a whole team of people, you know, and that's at least what this gentleman was saying in his piece. And you do have to worry about that. And if you really want to know how evil the NRA are on another level, they've gotten in a fight with the Department of Defense, because what you've got is you've got an epidemic of soldiers returning home from numerous tours, like what you just were talking about, and can't readjust to society and buying guns and killing themselves. And so the Department of Defense was trying to pass certain statutes and things so they could keep track of who had weapons among veterans. And the NRA has fought them and is trying to block it, because the NRA wants to sell more guns, even if that's the one that you put in your mouth and shoot yourself with, because you can't readjust to life here. And even if you would have had a chance, had the military gotten to you and known that you had that gun, just like they won't protect anybody else. The people that have gone and fought for us, they have no interest in protecting once they come home, if it gets in the way of their profits.
Well, it's people that kill themselves.
Talk about treason.
It's people that kill themselves, Cliff, not guns. And
that's right. That's right. The gun has nothing to do with it.
All right, well,
you can really do a great job killing yourself, for example, with a spork.
Let's...
You know, I've got an idea.
Yeah?
Maybe if we were to rename these things forcible shootings, then the Republicans would care.
I like the way you segued into that. Of course, right. If there was some way for us to parse this type of gun ownership,
honest shootings, maybe. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here.
You know, I had to email you. I mean, to IM you about this, but I cannot believe this Aiken thing just happened Sunday. I mean, I was already talking about Aiken last week. But in terms of him coming out and saying that we should not give kids, I mean, this is amazing. This is not the only controversial thing that he said. It's gotten the most national play because of how it relates to Paul Ryan's thing. But it could have also been he wanted to stop school lunches, federal funding of school lunches for poor kids. He wanted to get rid of the 17th Amendment.
Don't you know that that's what Jesus would do?
He
also made a statement, I don't remember when it was, in 2007, I think Michelangelo Signorelli pointed it out, it had it up at maybe his blog or whatever, that he'd made a statement about that if we didn't stop gay marriage, it would be the end of Western civilization.
Well, I mean, I think...
As you've noticed, Massachusetts is no longer on the map, and New York is quickly receding.
I think we need to... just reserve judgment and wait until maybe, because maybe what he's talking about is if it spreads across the entire country, maybe that's
too gay.
If things get just way too gay, and I think right. We're probably not at way too gay. I think we're probably at like moderately gay, and so I think we need to wait to see if Aiken was correct on that accord. But it's been. I mean, I've had mixed feelings about this because, obviously, I think there's value in exposing Paul Ryan as the right-wing nutjob he is. But, you know, you're writing your column about this, and it's something that, you know, I have been really focusing my attention on. It's just looking for how is the Obama campaign running against Ryan and Romney? And I would like to see more Medicare, and I would like to see the administration have to stake out a position more. And frankly, I'm curious as to how it's happening in local races across the country. By local, I mean congressional races. How much people are Democrats are holding Republicans to that vote that they took in favor of Paul Ryan's plan to destroy Medicare?
Well, I think they should do it. They need to hold people. And I've read about a number of places doing it. But, I mean, there's so much you can do with this stuff now. I mean, you can make them be held responsible for that. You can make them be held responsible, the 227 Republican sponsors of the forcible rape bill to redefine rape. Because, you know, if it's statutory and you were too young and there's a difference, you obviously wanted it. It's like wearing a low-cut skirt. And
well, you know what that means?
And all these types of things that, again, these guys stand for. It's important people understand that, you know, what Aiken said about rape and what Paul Ryan's done on Social Security and Medicare. And let's not forget Social Security, which his plan in 2004, called irresponsible by the Bush administration, would have privatized up to 50% of it, handed it over to the Jamie Dimons of the world, all of us would have gotten to know collateralized debt obligations a lot better.
Right.
Because that's what they would have done with your Social Security money. So it's important, I think, to tie all those things together, because these are all things that are core beliefs among Republicans, but you're not supposed to say out loud.
Well, but I'm more...
I mean, does anybody doubt
that
most of them want to privatize Social Security? Does anybody doubt that most of them think Medicare should be voucherized? And does anybody doubt that most of them, in the way they voted, think that if you get raped, for the most part, you wanted it, or you wouldn't have gotten pregnant, or you would have gotten away? You're just being a slut.
But, Cliff, you know my bailiwick. But my bailiwick is, or Bollywick, or whatever. I don't even know what that is.
Whatever wick you're talking about.
But my... My muse is not so much about the Republicans in this regard. I mean, yes, from an electoral standpoint, that's effective. But I really am worried about – I'm quite convinced that President Obama is going to win this election. I think he's going to win it by at least 3%. I'm worried that with a Republican Congress in particular – that he is going to strike the grand bargain, right? And he is going to cut Medicare, and he's going to cut Social Security, and that's why I'm more sort of keyed in onto that. I mean, I agree with you. Obviously, like, you know, we have a sense of what the Republican Party is, and that's all well and good. The problem is the fact that these guys want to parse rape because, you know, the reality is that God never allows someone who has actually been really raped to get pregnant, because God just is not down with that. And God, only God knows when a woman is supposedly raped, whether or not it was really a rape insofar as, you know, whether or not she wanted to be raped or whether or not she actually qualified as a woman who could be raped. You know, that I know that, I mean, that's their thinking. But the fact that they believe that, the fact that that is such a staple of the Republican Party, sadly, gives room for Democrats to step in and go, I'm a reasonable person. And part of my reason
right. and
is,
they will
is
try to
I'm,
do that. I
I'm
think
going
then,
to use that it, for my neoliberal policies now. And
right.
And so I am, you know, I am the biggest concern for me. The most interesting aspect of this election for me remains how much Democrats and are going to stake out a in what kind of position they're going to stake out relative to Ryan. And I imagine it's happening on a congressional level, and you know, and I have better hopes if the Democrats can take Congress than I do if the Republicans take Congress in terms of President Obama's ability to cut Social Security and Medicare. And like you say, you know, haven't seen much press attention to Joe Biden's comments. And
we're doing whatever we can. I'm trying my best to make sure everybody knows about that. You know, obviously we only have so much power, but
right.
That's really the answer, I guess, Sam. You know, there's no perfect answer here, but to get them to say it as much as possible, and be as clear as possible, and get them on the record. Because the truth of the matter is that, you know, we want President Obama to win. He's running against people that are terrible people, but getting him on the record now when he needs you is the important thing to do.
And
you go by on the record, flat guaranteeing not cutting Social Security. And you know, I work with Mayors Against Illegal Guns to go back to what we talked about in the beginning. And we've got to demand a plan. Well, we're demanding a plan from Romney and Obama. So far, the president's trying to still keep quiet on this issue. And it's ridiculous.
And, you know, I'll tell you something. We will, you know, if people out there want to use their Twitter accounts or their Facebook accounts, I mean, I think it's probably easier on Twitter, to ask your congressperson, if there's any question about this, ask your congressperson, do they, will they fight any cuts to Social Security and Medicare, or do they agree with Paul Ryan? If somebody tweets that, CC us at Majority FM, and we will retweet it. And CC me, and we will retweet it, and we'll start to catalog this stuff. And if you have the opportunity, obviously, to go to your congressperson and with a video camera, do it. And it's also probably worth, you know, doing this to President Obama. I mean, maybe this is something that we should get going.
I say so. Look, this is your time. You know, if you want these guarantees in place on issues you care about, on such important issues that are going to affect your life, this is the time. Because once they're reelected, they don't need you so much anymore. Now they need you.
Indeed.
You know, and you're not being bad. You're not being disloyal. And so what some of these people will say that are almost cultish.
You know, I was shocked. I went on Chris Hayes' show this past weekend and was talking to Michael Grunwald, who, you know, has a... it's a good book insofar as the reporting. There's a lot of sort of editorializing in there that I really don't like, and a lot of hippie punching. And I think his assessment of the stimulus and the Obama, his assessment of the stimulus may be correct, but the way that he contextualizes it and makes it into a new deal is just silly in my estimation. And you know, and I raised the issue of austerity, and then I got just barraged on Twitter, calling me an emo prog, which I guess means an emotional progressive, and firebagger. And I've never seen anything more ridiculous in my life. And you know, the thing that these people don't seem to realize is that they're more problematic than I am when it comes. I mean, if the agenda is to not vote for Republicans, they're more problematic because they're the ones who are deluding themselves. And it becomes more of a President Obama becomes more of a problem when I see people like that, in my mind.
Well, people are, I'm sorry, and you know, I don't care. I'm sure I'll get some angry Twitter attacks as I have in the past for this kind of stuff. But they're idiots. I mean, they're intellectually simple and refuse to think about things. You know, there's people on the other side of things too that President Obama can never do anything right. And he's terrible, and he's a complete sellout, and I've got a problem with them, too. We're supposed to be people, you know, if you're a liberal, it's supposed to be open-minded. You're supposed to believe there is nuance, and you're supposed to be able to have a critique of someone and say, well, he's done this well and that well, but isn't holding up to the bargain on this, and isn't doing what we need him to do on this. And in those areas, you pressure, and you push him to do what he needs to do. And you make it clear that if you want my strong support, if you want me talking to my neighbors and knocking on doors and doing everything you need, now's your time of need. Well, my time of need is going to be after you're elected, when I need my Social Security and Medicare to still exist. You know, and among other issues that people care about. So, that, I mean, to me, that's so sort of simplistic. That crap. That if you're willing to, you know, I mean, to me, you're no. I'm sorry, but if you're an Obama cultist who thinks everything he does is just wonderful, and you can't sit there and say, you know what, the auto bailout was fantastic. Bin Laden, you know, well, I know some of us disagree on how he did that, but got Bin Laden and some of the other things that he's done that have been good. But you can't sit there at the same time and say, you know, maybe he should have fought for a public option, and maybe he should have fought to keep the state funding and the stimulus and things like that. And those are all in the past, but now we're talking in the future and fighting to make sure, you know, we heard that you were willing to talk about cost of living adjustments, you know, lessening those for Social Security, maybe raising the retirement age. We have a simple answer for you. No.
Right.
You want my vote, you're not going to do it.
All right, well, let's. I want to turn to one other thing. We just have. We're a little bit late, but we got to talk about this. Do you think. I mean, now, Mitt Romney, Friday morning. Well, yesterday, as you know, okay. Yesterday, Gawker released like 900 pages of what appears to be sort of like Bain. Capital documents. I don't know where they got them. And we're seeing sort of like the outlines of some basically tax avoidance, maybe even arguably illegal tax evasion schemes that Bain was engaged in. None that they necessarily got in trouble for, but schemes that are outside of that arguably IRS could go after them for. And I feel like there is a drip, drip, drip going on here that is completely that the Obama campaign knows that this stuff is out there, has this stuff, somebody has this stuff, and they are just torturing him. And like now that we see, you know, today he's made a birther joke, supposedly, saying that no one's ever asked to see my birth certificate when he was in Michigan. And it just sort of feels like this guy is just sort of I just feel like this guy is almost, I'm starting to feel bad for him. I feel like he's like a like he's been put into like literally this like you know like he's like that guy who's in the ditch and the guy you know and that the people holding this tax information over him are going, you know, it will put the lotion in the basket. Like, I mean, he's, like, being tortured, you know, like, to the point where he's coming
out. Nice reference there, by the way.
Well, I mean, he's coming
out. That could be a movie pick for people.
He's saying that I don't want to release.
It rubs the lotion on.
I don't want to release my taxes because of my religious giving. I've seen him on multiple occasions talk about how much he pays in his taxes, and the fact that he tithes 10% to his church.
Right. In his wife's
so what is going on here? This guy is like now reaching, you know, religion and the birth certificate. You know, I don't know what's left for this guy, but he seems to be reaching the end of the line.
Here's the thing, Sam. Every time you want to start feeling slightly guilty for him, imagine yourself as that kid he held down to forcibly cut his hair.
Right.
And you'll feel better about the fact that, you know, I mean, it's kind of like what I've seen happening with Todd Akin. Like, seeing all the rest of the party just insult him and rip him. And it's like, I want to feel bad for him in a way. But then I remember who he is and that he's been a part of that whole mob mentality that's victimized other people. And put them in that place. So, you know, when you're tempted to feel bad for Romney, which I get why you are, because unlike some of the people on the other side, you're actually like a flesh and blood human being, just remember what a terrible person he is, and it'll probably help you out. Look, if I were them, you know, if you work on campaigns and work on strategy, obviously, and I don't think you have to have worked on campaigns to kind of be able to put this together, which is, this is obviously the best way to do it if you've got stuff. Because you could, you know, you don't want to release it all at one time. You get a couple of enormous stories or whatever. But if you do it earlier, too, maybe he finds the way to get around it later on. Or, you know, who the hell knows what happens. What you would do is you'd release a little bit at a time just to keep torturing the guy, keep him off his game psychologically, mess with the other side's heads. But you wouldn't want to drop the big bomb anyhow until October.
Unbelievable.
You know, early October, so it's got about 3 weeks to 4 weeks to process in people's mind. And
right before the first debate, right? I mean, that's when you would do it. If it's really bad, you would do it right before the first debate so that it would be almost impossible not to ask the question at one point or another.
And he would just have a terrible month of October and his numbers are crater. Because you remember, you know, it's kind of like with Aiken, the first poll that was taken, his numbers had gone down 8 or 10 points and he was in a statistical tie with McCaskill. But chances are that poll was only taken like a day after the controversy. You have to, you know, or a few days after is when it was taken. You have to wait till that stuff sinks in with people and they see more coverage of it. You know, sometimes there's a lagging effect where for a couple weeks you go down. So I would say beginning of October, and then by voting time in November, he's toast.
Well,
if
we'll
they've got something that bad. Otherwise, just keep torturing and messing him with him.
Are you going
to got something or not? He seems to think you do because he knows he's done something pretty shady. So have fun with it.
Is Hurricane Cliff going to Tampa this weekend or no?
I will not be one of the hurricanes arriving. Apparently a few others will, so that makes me happy.
Right.
I will be going to Charlotte, however. I think I told you this in an earlier broadcast.
Right.
Where I will be hosting DFA and Democracy for America, Howard Dean's group. I'll be hosting their live coverage on a live stream set up at their website between 9 and 4 every day. So that should be fun.
Oh, well, hopefully we'll do maybe a simulcast on that Friday.
I think we should.
Fantastic. All right, I'll be in touch with you and we'll figure it out. Cliff Schechter, everybody. Thank you for joining us, Cliff.
Thanks for having me on, buddy. Have a good day.
All right, you too. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back, hopefully, with Isabel Gillies. We'll be right back in 1 second. Cedar on the Majority Report, and on the phone, of course, we have Isabel Gillies. But before we bring Isabel Gillies on, of course, we need to play her theme song.
Today is casual Friday. Well, let us welcome Isabel Gillies to the show. She going to recommend a movie or two to watch on Netflix. It's the only way I know. Listen to the picks from Isabel. IsabelGillies.com.
IsabelGillies.com.
I'll never get over it.
You love that song, don't you?
I love it.
It is very sweet.
I know. It's sort of like it's a Western song.
A Western song?
Around the old campfire.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it seems like a little bit like, I don't know. I mean, it's supposed to be Elvis, I think.
Oh, right. right. It's Elvis.
Yeah.
But wasn't Elvis in westerns?
Wasn't Elvis, well, I'm sure.
Wasn't he ever
was
in a western?
Every genre of every film that they ever made.
He was? Wasn't there
Isabel,
a big
have you ever
one
seen,
that he was in western?
Have you ever seen a, have you ever seen a, what do you call it?
Elvis movie?
Yeah.
No, I have not. I haven't seen one.
Seriously?
No, I'm not kidding. I've
never
seen that one, and I've never seen Last Tango in Paris.
Those are not two movies I would think of in the same genre. They're
no,
very
but they're
different.
Holes. They're holes.
Holes in
my movie watching.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever seen 3 Days of the Condor?
No.
Well, there's another hole.
I know. And this year might be a little bit about seeing those
goodbye?
Kinds of movies. What?
Have you ever seen The Long Goodbye? You see Capricorn 1?
No.
Did you see The Sting? Did you see The Sting?
Yes, I saw The Sting. I saw The Sting in the movie theater.
Isabel, you know, when you say you haven't seen any Elvis movies and you haven't seen 3 Days of the Condor, did you see 3 Days of the Condor?
I don't think so. But does it make you question my movie recommending abilities?
Yeah.
Well, I went to film school, Sam.
You did?
Yes.
What?
I went to NYU film school.
I didn't know you went to film school. I thought you went to acting school.
No, I went to film school. Film school at NYU. And I worked at Kim's Video, which is probably one of the most snobby
Kim's Video.
Video stores of all time. I don't
when
think
it was
in
on,
existence now.
When it was on St. Mark's?
Yeah.
Wow.
I worked on St. Mark's. In the video store.
Now, wait a second. Did you ever did you ever shoot anything?
Did I ever shoot anything? Yes, I made documentaries.
You did?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I did.
What documentaries? Why did you stop?
Because then the acting kind of took over. And it was
so wait a second.
You know,
did you go to school? What was that dude who made Metropolitan? What was his name again?
Whit Stillman.
Did you go to school with Whit Stillman? Is that how you got it?
No, Whit Stillman's a lot older than me.
Well, but I don't understand. So didn't you do that while you were in school?
No, I did. Okay. Do you want to really know? I was in high school as just a normal high school student, but I was in a bunch of plays. Then I went off to the Rhode Island School of Design because I thought I was going to be an artist.
Wait, you went to RISD?
What?
You went to RISD as a freshman?
Yes.
How did we never have this conversation?
I don't know.
I mean, it makes me feel bad. Like I'm not a good
like you're like not a good
not
friend
a good person. Not even a
don't
good
don't know
friend.
My history.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe I never asked you that question.
Yeah, well, no, I went to Rhode Island School, and then Whit Stillman was having a hard time casting his movie, so he started calling high schools in New York, and the high school theater teacher said, well, we had one girl, but she went to college already. And then he called me. But independent film, those are the first independent film.
Right.
And
that
so
was back
it was
day.
Kind of like, what is this kind of thing? What are you talking about? I don't even know what that means. And you're going to make a movie for $200,000. And then I was at RISD, and so I got the part. I went down and I auditioned for the part, and then I got it. And then I also got into this very good photography class. So I told Whit that I couldn't do the movie. Even though I was only 18, I didn't know what I was doing. And he was like, no, I think you should do the movie. And so because we were shooting from 6 at night till 6 in the morning, I could do both. So I would shoot all night. And then I took a car up to Rhode Island and went to my photography class.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Metropolitan went on, and there was, like, this big deal and everything, and we went to Cannes and the Academy Awards, and so I was like, oh, I guess I should be an actress.
But wait a second, so when did you go to film school?
So then I said, I should be an actress, so I got to go back to New York and be an actress, but I couldn't go to school for acting because I thought that was silly. So I said, I'll go to film school since that's generally the whole thing, and I'd like to learn how to make movies anyway and get that skill. So
that
I went to film school and worked in independent film during that time.
Nothing.
And then I got a job at Kim's Video.
So you went to film school and you got a job at Kim's Video as a clerk.
Right. And that's what qualifies to recommend films.
And
me.
So what were your documentaries that you made?
I made one called about the music scene in New York, about Jonah Manson and the Spin Doctors and Blues Traveler and all those people?
Those guys weren't from New York.
They were from New Jersey, and then they played in New York.
Ooh.
Hmm. Sure, they were from New York. What do you mean? They did nothing but play in New York.
Hey.
Until they got too big, and then they went and played other places.
Yeah. Any other documentaries?
I did a documentary about learning disabilities, because I have a big one.
You're dyslexic?
Very.
I think I knew that. I did know that. See that?
See,
I
you know something. Yeah, and then that was that. And, you know, but I was the only nice person that worked at Kim's Video. That was my claim to fame.
When did you work there? What year?
1989, 90, somewhere around in there.
Okay, so before I came down to New York City.
Right, so this is all still in college. So you were up at BC.
No, I was not at BC. See, you're a bad person. You're a bad person. I never went to BC. I went to BU for law school, and I went to Connecticut College for undergrad. You're a bad person.
Yeah, I knew that, actually.
I've got a horrible cold. You don't think so? You don't?
No.
You can't? You have trouble imagining me at a Jesuit college?
I know, but besides that, you also just don't have that mojo. I'm sure there are Jews that go to BC.
Yeah. It's not, I mean, I'm a little bit Jewier than that, right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, but BC guys, you know, and I have friends that went to BC, but they're just a little more sporty.
What? What do you say?
Yeah.
What do you mean more sporty?
Are you a big sportsman?
Are you serious?
What? Are you?
What are you talking about? Are you saying that I'm not athletic? You know, I get a cold.
I'm not saying that, but did you play college sports?
We should tell people that Isabel comes on every week, not every week, but every third or fourth week, to suggest to me a Netflix or Amazon streaming movie, because apparently I'm not athletic enough to do anything but sit at home and watch movies.
Did you play college sports, Sam?
I played actually club baseball. We didn't have a full baseball team there.
Well, that's pretty good.
And I could have played JV ball, basketball.
Really?
And it's triple A. I mean, this is not a very good team, but yeah, I mean, I could have.
That's pretty, because any college sports, I think, you have to be very good.
I mean, I played, high school tennis, and I played, basketball, Darty, I was not good enough to play.
No, you're an athletic man, Sam. You are, but I didn't think that you'd be so, like, sporty in college, like all those sporty jock fraternity guys.
No, I'm not a jock. I'm not a jock
right.
In terms of attitude.
You're not a jock.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's okay.
Yeah, no, I feel pretty comfortable with it. Thank you.
I'm not a jock, and I couldn't have even played sports in college at all. Maybe volleyball. Maybe volleyball.
What did you... Maybe volleyball?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was on varsity volleyball when I was a freshman in high school.
Yeah, but you didn't go to, like, one of those schools in New York City where there's, like, 30 kids?
No, I went to boarding school in Connecticut.
You did?
For 2 years.
Where?
Westminster School, and then it was too sporty for me, so I came back to New York because I knew I had a more artistic bend.
Westminster School, very fancy. Hold on.
No, not that fancy.
No.
It's not like Exeter or Groton or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good school. Very sporty.
Right.
Very
sounds
sporty.
Sounds very British.
Yeah.
Isabel, what do you think about this whole... Did you... You're up where? You're in Maine.
Aiken?
Right? What?
Do you want to talk about Aiken?
Aiken? Yeah.
Aiken?
So, but I guess you've been reading more about it than you have been listening to more. Yeah. All right. So, how is this permeating? Because you're not a politico, but you're political. I mean, you follow politics.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's a good bellwether. What do you think? Bellwether.
Bellwether?
Bellwether.
Well, I can't understand that word.
What do you mean you can't understand? You don't know what the word bellwether is?
Bellwether?
Yeah,
no.
Well, you've never heard the word bellwether.
Not really.
Well, hold on.
What is it?
I'm going to look it up, but I don't want to...
Don't leave me hanging.
Well, I don't want to push it, but it is a... It is an entity in a given arena that serves to create or influence trends or to presage future happenings. So, yes.
Yes, it is.
No, you.
Oh, I am?
Yes, you're a good sign of, like, what someone who isn't necessarily really...
Oh, yes, I am. That's true. But I'm pretty political, though.
Really?
Well, I mean, I follow it.
Is there a trumpet going on behind you? Is there some big fox? Hunt?
Well, you see, you email me. I forgot to put it on. That says that there's an email coming. But I had it on because I had to make sure that I got your email to say that you were...
I had to put it on high alert. A trumpet blast when you get an email?
It's Robin Hood. Da 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 da. That means an email's coming.
Where did you get that from? Is that on your Mac?
From my phone.
Oh.
It had it as an option.
Oh.
Yeah. Aiken.
Okay. Well, what do you think about Aiken?
Well, I'm pretty horrified. I'm horrified that someone could say that.
What do you know about Paul Ryan?
I know that when I see the pictures of him and Romney, when I just see the pictures and feel the energy coming off them, it's scary to me because they feel like, yep, I got you got me, we're good to go, we're going to go. They have a sort of energized vibe that freaks me out because that guy is going to energize all that base. It was not energized because Romney just wasn't doing it for them. Romney probably really is pro-choice, and probably everybody knew that, and Ryan certainly is not.
Well,
he looks like a little, you know, prep school, oh, everything's groovy, it's all, everybody can do that what they want, but he probably is against gay marriage and against everything that is makes people free, and
you know what I'm hearing?
I'm terrified.
You know what I'm hearing, Isabel,
what?
From you?
What?
What I'm hearing is that you have not, they have not successfully, the Democrats, have not successfully permeated the membrane that keeps you from knowing the connection between Aiken and Paul Ryan. Do you know what the connection between Aiken and Paul Ryan is?
They know each other somehow? No.
No, there you go. They co-sponsored a bill in the House talking about forcible rape.
I do know that because I read it, I think, yesterday. I think Maureen Dowd might have written about it.
Oh, God.
What? Oh, God? Someone said, oh, God?
Yeah, I just said, oh, God.
I think she did.
Yeah, well, I just hate Maureen Dowd having to be the conduit for that type of thing.
Well, how else? I'm just someone who looks to the op-ed page to tell me what to think.
Well, no, that's fine. It's just Maureen Dowd drives me up a wall, but good. She's doing something.
Well, she was informing me yesterday, and so was Gail Collins, about all of that Aiken is... You know, all the sort of Middle Ages hocus pocus he was talking about with that women have some control over their bodies when they're
You know
raped.
What it turns out to be? God. It's God who makes the decision.
That's right.
It's not. It's God knows whether or not it was a real rape or not.
That's right.
And then decides to make you pregnant.
And certainly God knows that if you were wearing a short skirt, that it was not rape.
It's just interesting because this is the value of Aiken to President Obama's campaign is that it exposes Ryan's insanity as well, because Aiken is crazy, but Ryan is really just
as crazy.
As crazy, but, you know, a little bit more smart. He's smarter about, you know, he may be on the God squad, but he's not the starting center. You know, Aiken seems to be.
He might be. He might secretly be, but he's not going to put it all out there right now.
Yeah.
And that's why he was chosen.
Well, you know, I have a different theory as to why he was chosen, but.
Why?
Well, I think because Mitt Romney knew he was going to lose, and that if you bring in Ryan, when he does lose, it won't be all Mitt Romney's fault.
Well, and also Mitt Romney's camp is putting out this fatherhood thing, like that's what his whole MO is to parent and to be a role model, and that's what he's taking on Ryan as if he were one of his own children. And they're putting that out there, and it's sort of a subliminal family values thing that also energizes that base.
Where'd you get that?
What do you mean?
Is that your sense? Because it was what? Also, there was a piece in the National Review online by a guy named Kevin Williamson who was saying that the reason why Romney is going to do better is because he projects a more sort of macho, paternal thing because he had boys. Whereas
right. He has all his boys that are like Ryan.
Obama.
They're all like him.
But he was knocking Obama for
sire. People that work for Romney's campaign are all like him.
Siring daughters. In other words, if your sperm creates a daughter, you're a weaker man.
Oh, that's interesting.
Your sperm is not strong enough to put forward another man.
Even though, you know who chooses the man or the sex of the child is the man.
He does?
Mm-hmm. It's not the woman, it's the man.
Well, when I had my daughter, nobody even asked me. It was just whatever came out.
And it's when you conceive and all. But no, that's what Romney's doing. He's like, all right, I've got to go for this sort of patriarchy. I'm the papa of the whole family, and I'm going to take someone who's like my son. And we're the same. I get you, you get me. And that's going to somehow subliminally go into all these people's minds and say, that's like me and my son. I can vote for them because he's like me. And I don't care if then that's going to go past all of their political beliefs because it's going to go to their heart. And that's what he's going for because he has nothing else for the Republicans. I know a huge, staunch Republican who wanted nothing to do with Romney.
But now that Ryan's on board?
Now that Ryan's on board, he likes Ryan. He's going to vote for him.
Interesting.
Totally. And I asked that question quite specifically to him before the VP pick and now after, and he's like, up now voting for Romney. I don't think he was going to vote at all.
All right. Well, interesting. I appreciate
it. Do you think it's going to give him a chance?
Do I think it's going to give him a chance? No.
No. You don't?
No. Huh. So, Isabel, let's go to movies. What movie did you recommend for me last week?
Or last the B movie.
The B movie.
Flight to the Sun or whatever.
I had seen that already. Okay.
Yeah, I know. You saw it already. That was a shanker on me. But let me tell you something.
What else you got? What do you got this week?
I really have a good one this week.
Let's hear it.
Really, really. Okay, first of all, it's foreign.
Okay.
It's a French movie. Well, there's a little backstory. Okay, it's called Un Secret.
A secret?
A secret. It's on Netflix.
Yeah?
It's a French movie about a family living in Paris, a Jewish family, and it starts in post-World War I France, but you go back in time, and there's this secret in the family, and this little boy discovers what it is, and it's all about this Jewish family's experience with being in the occupation, and sort of there's one side of the family that's very, very proud to be Jewish, there's other side family that doesn't really care and would rather sort of not think about it because of this occupation that's going to happen, because it's just the beginning of the war. They're not quite sure what's going to happen. They think they're safe in France. It is so engrossing, so well done, intelligent, beautifully made, and all those great French actors. One of them, I think, was in The Belle and that great movie, The Belle and the Butterfly. The Butterfly.
I don't know what that is. I only know the guy who was in The Professional. I like that guy.
I could say them.
No.
Julie Depardieu, which I bet is Gerard Depardieu's daughter.
Right.
Ludivine Sanger, Patrick Bruel, Matthew Amique.
You just want to say something French. I don't want to hear
that. Oh my gosh. Sam, it's so good. Have to say, my cousin wrote it.
Whoa. All right. Fair enough. You have a French cousin.
I have a French cousin, and she's kind of a big deal in France, and this played at the Paris, and I didn't see it then, and that's a shameful thing for me, but
that's pretty bad.
Missed it somehow.
You blew off your cousin's movie.
And
sounds like
now here it is, and it's so good.
All right, I'm going to watch it.
Please watch it. It's not a movie to watch. Actually, I kind of wanted my 10-year-old to watch it a little bit, because part of the reason why I picked it is because Hugh, my 10-year-old, is reading this book called Survivors about World War II and these kids that survived Nazi Germany.
Maybe a little early for him.
Poland and everything. Hmm?
Well, I guess.
Fifth grade.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
You have to read it, nonfiction, for school.
Wow.
And we picked that one. And he looked at me. He was like, what? And I was like, I know. It's really happened. And he was like, what? He was appalled, astonished, all of it. He's like, I can't even read this. It makes me cry. I was like, I know.
Wow.
It's kind of wild. Anyway, so that was kind of in the air because he's been reading it this summer for school. And so this is so complex, but it's just beautifully done. And then it's fun to be in France. And
sold.
Yeah, you got to do it.
All right. Well, listen, I gotta jump because I got the rest of the show to do. But
Unsecret.
Thank you, Isabel.
Oh my gosh, thank you. That was so fun. I really want you guys to watch this movie. It's so good.
All right. Well, I'm gonna watch it. I can print
Netflix.
All right, Netflix. All right, Isabel.
Okay, we'll have the rest of good rest of August.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, folks. We're gonna take a quick, brief break. Then we'll be back with your phone calls and your IMs. You can IM me at Majority FM. You can call me at 646-257. Wait, 257-3920. Back in a sec. Folks, we are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. Let's go to the IMs. You know, I have to say, between my cold and doing this remotely, I think this is going incredibly smoothly. Bush and Chains, Likudnik King Bloomberg must be rubbing his little shtickle over this shooting. Attaboy, Michael, keep him stupid, keep him scared. Serial killer Obama's body count continues to ride. U.S. terrorist drone strike kills 16 in Pakistan. Breaking, J.P. Morgan Chase schedule of loans purchased from WaMu, that would be Washington Mutual, does not exist. No assignments of mortgages, no launches, or evidence of transferring ownership of loans from WaMu to Chase. That's problematic. Everyone knew that Lance was doping, yet he was hailed as a hero, and he loved the moniker. Armstrong stripped of 7 Tour de France titles. Military murderers are doing the honorable thing after committing unspeakable atrocities to the Republicans and Democrats' evil corporatist agenda. They should commit I don't know. I'm sorry, Bush and Chains. I shouldn't have read that one. Bush and Chains. Romney claims Mormon faith dictates tax return secrecy. More of Obama's economic incompetence. Household income dropped by nearly 5% this economic recovery. The hits just keep coming. Paul Ryan, rape is another method of contraception. What? He couldn't have said that. He could not have said that. You're calling from a 715 area code. Who's this? You there? Hello? What just happened? Calling from a 715 area code. You there? Hello? Oh, wait a second. That's not going to work that way. Huh. We'll try it one more time. Hold on for a second. You got to hold on for 1 second.
You got to hold on. Yeah, I'll do that.
All right, we are back on the air. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm hearing you fine.
Oh, okay, good. All right, we are back. Sorry for that. I hit a wrong button. So let me. Go ahead. Start with the what you were saying again.
Okay, yeah. I've been listening. I was just saying that I've been listening to you since the Hair America days. You and the Morning Sedition guys helped me get through the letdown from the 2004 election.
Poor Mark Maron, of course. His career has basically gone nowhere since those days, so I feel bad for him. But
I know that he's a hollow shell of his former self, I guess.
Yeah. He's gotten fat. But it doesn't matter.
But yeah, I mean, and you know, I've been listening all along, and actually, just to the people who are listening as freeloaders, I mean, I work second shift, so you know, most days that you're on, I can actually listen to the show live and get the whole show.
Great.
But I just posted on the website. You know, I don't want you to go away because what I've been hearing is that if you don't get enough members, that you're going to be replaced by Lino.
Nice. You're going to get another one of these for that. Yeah, there's...
but what I kind of wanted to call about was, the whole election coming up, being that I'm in 715 is Wisconsin, and which I've been told you can tell from my accent. But anyway, I think... Especially with Ryan being on the ticket, that it's going to be really close here.
Yeah.
And, it's for whatever problems that I have with Obama and how the Democrats have conducted themselves the last 3.5 years or whatever it's been. It's really important for us to get them in because one, we need to have a Democrat as president. Until the rest, until the ACA fully takes effect.
Well, look, I can come up with a million, to the extent that people were saying, is Romney really going to be that much worse than Obama? You know, I think it's quite clear by picking Paul Ryan, we know who Mitt Romney is. And we know that Medicare eligibility, if you had any questions as to whether or not Medicare eligibility age is going to rise under Obama, it is definitely going to rise under Romney. If you have any questions as to whether or not they're going to go after Social Security, it's definitely going to happen under Romney. And then you're looking at a whole slew of other, of budget cuts and whatnot. I mean, it's not even a remotely close question for me anymore. I mean,
right.
I have not been enthused about President Obama. I'm not going to lie about that. People know that. I mean, I think it's fairly obvious. But we have two choices. And one choice is absolutely horrible. And the other choice is, at worst, not great. And so I'm going to take the lesser of two evils. It's not even a remotely close situation. And, you know, I saw a quote the other day. I mean, I think I mentioned this on the show yesterday. I saw a quote the other day that Glenn Greenwald had posted from Chomsky. And Chomsky was talking about, it was a different context. He was talking about why he criticizes the United States government as opposed to other governments because, as vigorously anyways, is because he has more influence on the United States government and his own society. And the calculation he made was a function of his ethical choices are a function of also being aware of what potential outcomes there are. And so, you know, that's what informs this decision for me. And so I don't think, you know, Paul Ryan may make Wisconsin tighter, but Paul Ryan should also be energizing the Democratic and the, frankly, the liberal base. I mean, the Paul Ryan's America, which I think, you know, it's quite clear where Romney stands on this, would be draconian. And it would be horrible. And so it's yes, I agree.
Yeah, and you know, there's the little matter of the seat, you know, Supreme Court, and the thing with Romney is, I mean, he's Norquist's Cabana boy, basically. You know, he's got the five working digits on his right hand. I assume he's right-handed. But you know, the ACA is really important to me because I went through a cancer surgery back in the early part of 2009, and I'm fine now, and I don't need to go through the whole tale of woe. But I work for a company where I've got, as insurance goes, I've got really great health insurance. But I still ended up, it was probably close to $250,000 when it was all said and done.
Wow.
The insurance company paid out, and I paid out several thousands of dollars on myself, and at least part of that I had to pay while I was on 50% disability, and that's part of the reason it took me as long as it did to join up, is because I just had to, it's taken me this long to get to a place where I can support some of the things I want to support, and I can start sending money to Tammy Baldwin and some folks like that, but I'm not intending to necessarily ever get a job somewhere else, but until the ACA is fully in effect, I really don't have the option.
The only option I would say, first off, let me just say thank you for becoming a member, and I'm very glad to hear that you put that behind you, at least to the extent that you have. You would be eligible right now for a high risk pool in Wisconsin. It won't be as good of a situation as it will be in 2014, but I get your message. And I think the biggest supporters of the Affordable Care Act that I have run into are people exactly like you. And who have been in your situation, who have either been helped by the affordable by the high risk pools, or are looking forward to 2014 where they're not where their pre-existing conditions are not going to essentially impact their entire set of life choices. And people have to remember that 80% of medical costs are borne by 20% of the people. The reason why most people don't realize how bad their health insurance is, or how much they're going to be helped by the Affordable Care Act, is a function of them not being sick enough to actually really need their health insurance. And the people who do need their health insurance, or have had reason to need it, those tend to be the ones who are most supportive of the Affordable Care Act, in my experience.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And I'm just lucky that that when I had to have my appendix out when I was in my 20s, that it happened literally happened 3 months before I went was due to go off my parents' insurance. It happened when I was 24, and so when I turned 25 is when I lost my health care through my parents, and then I basically spent the next until I got my current job in 2000, except for the 2 years that I was in grad school in Austria when I was on the Austrian National Health. I didn't have insurance for any of those years, and I'm just lucky that the few things that happened to me were of a minor enough nature that I was able to, you know, to pay for that stuff out of the pocket. But I know there were plenty of times that I would have liked to have gone to the doctor when I had aches and pains, but I figured, well, I'm just going to, you know, kind of play the cards on that and you know, hope it works out.
Well,
and,
you know what Ron Paul would say about that? Ron Paul, of course, would say, deserve what you get. But listen, I got to jump, but thank you so much for joining. And,
I'll let you get going, Sam, and I'll check in again one of these days. But, I've been enjoying the show, and I'll listen to the rest of the better half here. Right. You're off the phone, and I'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks for joining. Appreciate it. Let's go to Sugar High. Hey, say, you're coming through over the music, Sam, behind the curtain. Ian, I'm so tired of Bush and Cheney spouting off about Apple. What in the hell is he talking about? The company had more than double Microsoft's revenue, the revenue of the entire mobile phone sector combined. So, yes, they're in fact worth more than Microsoft and HP and all those other companies combined. But unlike the rest of the PC industry, Apple has maintained a healthy growth rate for all their products. Add in Apple's cash on hand and their continuing dominance of the tablet market, considered by many to be the growth center going forward, along with potential opening of the small tablet market and the television market, means they have massive growth potential. Conclusion: Bush and Chains doesn't understand what a monopoly. If he did, he wouldn't call Apple that. It's possible he's an idiot too, but I don't want to judge. Growth rate hasn't been strong for iPods, I suppose, but they supplanted that with phone sales. Whoa, a big broadside against Bush and Chains is Apple business criticism, I guess. Did you notice that when Biden said there would be no cuts in Social Security, the media ran with the stupid non-gaffe by Biden that wasn't about race? I mean, look, I can understand why they ran with that. It was just strange, the amount of media silence about Social Security. Strange. And I'm glad Cliff is writing about it. RJ Eskow wrote a piece the other day, and I just interviewed him for Ring of Fire about it. And I'm just trying to get that out there into the ether. You know, when I went on Hayes' show, even, nobody there even knew about it. Nobody there even knew about the Biden thing, and which is why I made a point of mentioning it at the end of the show, when that what we should know. But I'm gonna do my best to get that out there, because that's my bailiwick. Sam, audio feeds to sound distorted, too hot. Oh, didn't know you were remote. Not so bad then. Lance Armstrong not admitting he did anything wrong. Just says he's sick of fighting these charges for over a decade now. His resources aren't unlimited. Just lost audio feed at 116 back now. Yeah, I know. I thought the problem with the caller was on my end, but it was on his end, so I unplugged the wrong thing. Calhoun John, thanks for having a couple teachers yesterday. I was actually at my school getting ready to start up Monday. Two comments. One is, how the hell do you teach a class of over 40 10th graders? I don't know. Secondly, the big problem no one ever mentions is the horrible quality of administrators. There are some good ones, but I could tell you unbelievable stories about administrators from my school and others where friends teach that would amaze and infuriate you. Virtually no teacher I know has ever had a real evaluation from an administrator. In fact, no one cares what you do in the classroom as long as you don't make waves. Do you know the old teacher's joke? Those who can't teach become administrators. You know, that's a very good point, and it is one that doesn't get much coverage, and I haven't read much about, but I've heard people say, I mean, if you're going to judge the quality of a school, why aren't you going to the administrators? I mean, not the test scores from the students, but I mean, looking at the quality of the administrators. It's the same problem that you have. Look, middle management's always a problem. It's the same problem that you have in large corporations, too, is that there's such a, in the military in some way, too. It's because when you start to get to, like, any large organization, politics plays such a very creepy role. And I'm not talking politics, ideological politics. I'm talking about sort of the way that people interact politics. Let's go to the phones. 919, who's this?
Hey, Sam. This is Triangle Bill.
Triangle Bill calling from North Carolina. North Carolina. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Great. You sound great. You sound like you're feeling better today. I'm
a little bit better. Thanks.
Yeah. Sorry to appreciate you still coming on Tuesday and pushing through the week like that. It was awesome. Great week of shows, you know, with the upper respiratory tract infection. I was going to make a quick point about, you guys are just talking about Romney, you and Isabel Gillies, and the whole thing about this extreme patriarchy, you know, that's all wrapped up in that whole, and Mormonism as well. The extreme patriarchy and the almost misogynistic kind of women are property thing, that's deeply embedded in the Mormon thing.
Wait a second,
thing.
Bill.
And I would just,
wait a second,
I would just,
Bill. Bill, are you trying to tell me that a religion which had one of its tenets polygamy in some way views women as property? I mean, it's not like all religions already don't do that to a certain extent, but...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
The natural male herding mentality, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure the idea to project that is as much a function of that's who Romney is and wants to project. You know, I mean, I think we played the audio of the story that... One, I don't know if it was Tag or Biff or Rim or whatever the guys' names are. They were all on Jay Leno, and we played this audio a while back. It was one of the most uncomfortable things in the world. They're trying to humanize Dad. And I think it was Tag told a story about like how, Dad always loved to play pranks on us. So one day I went into the basement, and it was really dark down there, really creepy. And he came down, and he couldn't say anything, and he went to reach for the light, and I grabbed his arm, and he just tackled me and grabbed me on the ground and just kept hitting me and squeezing me and going like, do you think it's funny now? Do you think it's funny now? Do you think it's funny now? And he just kept doing that over and over and over again.
I did see that. And it was really creepy. It was really creepy.
Everybody just sort of looked at each other and go,
I wanted to mention to you
and
the listeners that this John Krakauer book, Under the Banner of Heaven, is a must read in the next couple of months now, leading toward Romney, with the Romney.
You know, I think I have that one. I will check it out.
Yeah, this book, it was like mid-2000s. And it traces just how embedded and ingrained the notion of screwing over anybody is deeply embedded. And as long as you're not screwing over another Mormon, it's totally fine.
Wow.
The whole rest of the world, like, is your oyster in terms of, you know, screwing over your neighbor. And that's essentially sort of why they were run off of and chased across the country, because they kept doing horrible things. And that book does a fantastic job of tracing that history. They were basically chased as far, and at that time, you know, Salt Lake City, Utah was a long way out in the middle of nowhere. And that idea of basically screwing people over, as long as you're not screwing over another Mormon, that's the key. You can't screw over another Mormon, but anybody else is like, whatever, it doesn't matter. They're just like there for your
under the banner of heaven. All right, well, I'll check it out. Thanks for calling, Bill.
Anyway, sorry, thanks. I couldn't hear you very well, so I'm sorry if I kept rambling.
No problem.
You're trying to cut me off.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Thanks, Sam.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Let's go back to the IMs for a second. There's a Triangle Bill there. Kevin 11721, I fear that Paul Ryan's extremist views about rape and abortion will distract us from his extremist views about Social Security and Medicare. Andy Borowitz. I got to agree with that. Jay Tingle, Elvis's first movie was a Western. He was not in every genre. I can't think of an Elvis sci-fi movie. All right, fair enough. Given that you mentioned the difficulty of repatriating soldiers, you may want to watch Rolling Thunder. Tarantino selected it as one of his top 10 of all time. Screenplay by Paul Schrader. Alright, Rolling Thunder. I will check it out. Poor Mark Maron. He's been reduced to doing a podcast. Indeed. Heathen Steven. I see a plot problem with Unsecret. Paris wasn't occupied in World War I. Tell Isabella's cousin.
I'll tell her.
Into architecture, I have seen people who would otherwise be very unenthused about Romney all of a sudden excited about Ryan. It's a little scary. Imagine if people were cold on Bush and they couldn't wait to vote for Cheney. Turns my stomach to think about. Dradman Thieves. Hey, Sam, happy Shabbos and good to hear your voice after the dead air. Did you ever see Matthew Film Guy's recommendation, Elite Squads 1 and 2? If so, I was wondering what you thought, especially about the sequel, which I think is pretty impressive as far as sequels go. Well, I don't want to tip my hand, but let's put it this way. Elite Squad 2 was on streaming. Elite Squad 1? No. So, but when Matthew comes on, I'll let him know. B. Rocco, I want to see a tag team cage match. Mark Maron and Andy Cobb versus Sam Cedar and Ari Berman. Strange. Strange tag team. Here's a different model that counters the Bickers model. I'm not sure what that means, but I will... 13 keys that predictable Obama woman. Yeah, I'm not so worried about the Bickers model. Crystal Count, Lionel and Isabel wouldn't have quite the same chemistry. I mean, you two might make a good screen couple, something improv style like Curbs. Speaking of chemistry, what about having Nikki join the movie picks rotation? Win-win, since of course she'd have to watch them with you. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to do that. Highly unlikely. All right, let's take one more phone call and then one more IM. Jeremo!
Hey, let me turn the radio down here.
Wait, no, that's not
Jeremo. You asked her what might have been a rhetorical
Who's
question.
Who's this?
It's Tom. I'm in Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, hey, Tom. How you doing?
All right. You may ask what might have been a rhetorical question about why don't they go after school administrators?
Yeah?
A simple answer. They're not unionized.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
I think you're right. We're going to dig into that more. I wonder if anybody knows of anybody who's written about administrators as opposed to teachers in that issue, send me an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com. Calhoun John, won't be able to keep listen to you often live off of school starting, but I'm a member since the beginning. Enjoy the podcast. Keep the good work. Thank you, John. Long Doggy, final one. A&E announces America's next top mass murderer coming this fall. Gun and bullet, sore. Clower will get the final IM of the day. I think Isabel would have ways to shut that. Oh, Lionel and Isabel? I think Isabel would have ways to shut that whole thing down. Ladies and gentlemen, see you Monday. It might take a